but our Creator. So I'm going to go a little old school today. Many of you have probably heard of an acrostic. Raise your hand if you know what that is. It's where you take a word up and down and put another word beside it to try to deliver a message. Everybody hold your Bibles up. Who's got your Bibles? How many of them are electronic? Okay. I have one too. I left my electronic one at the pew. I brought a real one up here because I have a purpose in a little bit. But when you look at the word respect, if you draw it up and down, I should have done slides, but I wanted you to have to look at me and try to visualize what I was saying mentally. When you look at the word respect, if Fred Lofton was here, he might be able to sing a verse for us, but I don't have his voice, so I'm not going to go Aretha on y'all this morning. But the R, to start out, when you start talking about respect and you're talking about God, I want us to think about reverence, which ties back to the songs that we just sang. And what does reverence mean? It's a respectful fear with awe. Something, you know, if you use the Hebrew word, it's an awe, it's fear. In the Greek, it's a respectful fear. And reverence is what we should be showing to God today, especially today while we're worshiping, but even more so when we leave this building. And if you look at Hebrews 12, verse 9, get my cheaters out. Moreover, we have all had human fathers who disciplined us, and we respected them for it. How much more should we submit to the Father of the spirits and live? So most of us, at least, most of us, probably respected our fathers, and they disciplined us. Mine did. If I didn't say yes, sir, or yes, ma'am, to people who were older than me when I was little, and I mean little, I got in trouble. And they corrected us. And all the things that our parents did when we were younger, and a lot of our young folks over here are getting similar treatment now, but the amount of respect that we were taught for our fathers and for our physical elders was very important to us. And it stuck with us, even to this day. How much more respect should we show a Heavenly Father who sacrificed His only Son on our behalf that we might have the opportunity to become His children and live with Him eternally? And I think we oftentimes lose sight of that. And one of my favorite verses is Psalms 46:10 that says, "Be still and know that I am God, and I will be exalted above all." Be still and know that I am God. How many times a week do we do that? Just pause, be still, and think about who God is and what He's done for us. I think it's important that we do that. I think it's also important that we recognize that the example, E in the word respect, goes to example. And I think there's three different ways we can look at the kind of example we're going to be. And I think Jesus establishes one very important trait of the kind of example we should be when we're together. In John 13:15, where he just finished washing the disciples' feet in the verses leading up to that. He says, "For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you." And his example wasn't, "I want you to go around washing everybody's feet." It was the attitude in which no one is better than anyone else. No one is better. You should, if anything, you should lower yourself so that you believe everyone else is better than you. And that was the message he was trying to get across. So the overarching principle of our example should always be led with humility. And I think Jesus was trying to make that clear to his disciples at that point. And in Philippians 3:17, when you start talking about our example in faith, Paul says, "Brethren, join in following my example, and note those who so walk as you, and note those who so walk as you have us as a pattern." So he was pretty clear. I think Paul was constantly reminding people of the doctrine that he's teaching, and wanted to make sure that we as Christians followed in that same path. The example that we lead spiritually today is in our worship, is in our life outside this building when we're demonstrating that we're Christians. And Paul said, follow me. Do like I am and do like those who are also following, who are also acting like me. And without getting into all the doctrine, obviously that would be a long sermon, and I've been asked to keep it short by a few people. A couple people asked me to keep it long so they could take a nap, so I'm not sure where we'll land. But our example in faith is follow those in the New Testament. Paul, one of the anchors, who said, look, do what I'm saying, do what I'm teaching, and you'll be exactly what kind of example Christ wants us to be. But then when you turn to Romans 12:2, we start getting a little bit, you know, it seems easy sometimes to come in here and follow the right worship pattern and be here on Sunday and be here on Wednesday and do the things according to what the Bible tells us. But then when we leave this building, Romans 12:2 reminds us and warns us in our lives, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. That one's hard. That one is hard to not conform to our surroundings. The amount of influence that's on us, that's put on us today, and it doesn't matter what your age. If you're working in a work environment, if you're in a school environment, if you're at home, the TV's on, if you're at home and you're on the internet, if you're at work surrounded by people who are not Christians, then there is an enormous amount of pressure for us to conform. And oftentimes it happens to us and we don't even know it. It's a diluting effect. We don't have intentions of changing, but the more content that comes our way, the more we allow it to absorb into our minds, the more our thoughts become less spiritual. Recognizing we have to be in the world, but not of the world, we have to be able to deal with both, and we have to balance it. And in our example, people have to know there's something different about us. I fear too many times that when we're not in this building, that when we're in our workplace, or when we are at school, or wherever we are, that we oftentimes find ourselves to be just like everybody else. The way we dress, the way we talk, the things we look at, the things we read, the shows we watch, so we can talk about them the next day with whoever we're socializing with, and we don't look different than everybody else. We're supposed to be a peculiar people. Peculiar meaning not like everything else. And it's a challenge. It's tough it's tough outside this building to not be that way. No matter who you are. So I think it's important that we recognize that the example that we need to be is humble, faithful in our worship, and then spiritual when we're outside this building. So people have a wonder, they're trying to figure out what's different about us. If you're not like everybody else, somebody's going to ask you a question. My phone's going off. Hang on a second. Jason sent me like 38 texts in the last 5 minutes. I told him to do that on purpose, because there's a lot of electronics in this audience. And there's a lot of interaction that goes on, intentional and unintentional. And the amount of respect and reverence that we have for our Heavenly Father gets diluted. I'm guilty. I'm not up here beating on everybody. This sermon started way back here. I have a phone in my pocket 24/7. I put it on silent when I come in here, but I still feel it when it goes off. It still vibrates. And when it does, my thoughts, just for a second, sometimes longer. Do I need to look at that? That's one thing. That's one distraction from the respect that we should have. And I'm kind of going back to the first letter, if you notice, because my text didn't go off loud enough for me to catch it the first time. I'm getting hard of hearing. But sometimes we're texting back and forth, each other, in worship. I was at the youth rally a couple weeks ago, sitting in a certain area, and you could see down like three full rows at one time. Video games being played, texting back and forth being played, laughing. And I'm not just picking on the youth, because I've seen adults in our worship service do the same thing. Answer an email, answer a text, laugh at something that just popped up on Facebook. I'm kind of on a soapbox right now, I apologize, but when we are here, the reverence that we should have for God should outweigh any other distraction that could remotely come inside our head. So I apologize if you took offense to it, because I'm telling you, I'm guilty as well, and I apologize for that. But I'm here to encourage us to recognize why we're here. And that's the primary reason we're here today, is to worship. Secondary is to edify one another. And we can do both of those and leave the world outside while we're here. Whatever those messages that pop up and whatever those texts that come in, they'll be there when you get out of here and you can respond. So when it goes to our example, remember, humility, follow God's plan spiritually, and try not to conform ourselves to the world. S in respect. Study. Study what? What is this? It's God's word, right? It's Him talking to us. God breathed. It's not a history book. It's not a storybook, although there's some great stories in there that are all true. But it's Him talking to us, all written down. And there's a thing called active listening. Clearly, we have to be an active listener if we want a relationship with God. We have to open that book and listen to what He's saying. And the only way to listen to it is to read it and study it. And don't be guilty of opening it and looking for things to justify or prove what you want to do. Open it up, study it, read it to find out what He wants us to do and be obedient. We've been studying the heroes of faith on Sunday morning, and we're talking about all those who, by faith, whatever, by faith Abraham, by faith Noah, and at the end of all of them, by faith they were all obedient. By faith they didn't listen to part of what God said and said, I'm going to do that part because that's what I want to do and that will feel better. When we study, we're listening, we're an active listener to what He has said to us. So let's do our best to try to understand what we're studying. 2 Timothy 2:15 says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Rightly dividing the word of truth, or handling aright, some versions say, it's there for a reason. It's not study to show thyself to prove what you want to do, handling it the right way to prove your point. It's there to study it, to understand what's in it, so that we can divide it rightly, not just pull a verse out that justifies something. The Bereans in Acts 17:11 were more noble. Why? They were searching the Scriptures daily, trying to find out to make sure that what they were doing was correct. Do we do that? Do we search it daily, or do we search it to justify what fits our point, or something I want to do? I tell you, the religious world certainly knows how to pull verses out of context and paint an entire religion around them. Ephesians 2, verse 8, references being saved by grace through faith. That one, pull that one out, it's all over the place. In the religious world today, yes, we're saved by grace. Yes, we're saved through faith. But their definition of faith doesn't correlate to what God's full Scripture tells us. So let's make sure we're using the Scriptures not to find verses that justify our point of view, but we're studying the Scriptures in context to understand what God wants us to hear when He's talking to us. That's the S. So naturally, if you're an active listener and you've been studying, you go to the P in the word respect, that would be prayer. How many people understand that a good relationship requires two-way communication? I've been married 32, going on 33 years. I paused just to look for approval on the 32. Make sure I'm right. Imagine, now, first of all, I'll admit, I'm not a great communicator. I don't like to talk about feelings, and I'm not sensitive, and I miss a lot of things, so I'm not the perfect husband. But I can promise you, if I went an entire week without as much as uttering a word to my spouse, literally not saying a word, I probably wouldn't have made it 32 years. At least I do answer her questions. Yes, no, maybe, tomorrow, what did you say? I mean, I try. But put yourself in God's place, our Heavenly Father, who has told us and is talking to us through His Word. It's in our hands. We've got everything He wants us to know. And yet we rarely take the time to talk to Him. So our prayer lives are extremely important, that we are acknowledging Him. He's no different than our earthly fathers. You know, He's longing for a relationship. He sent His Son to die for us so that we would have a relationship with Him. And I think it's on us to make sure that we do that. Matthew 7:7, Jesus says, ask, and it shall be given unto you. You can't ask if you don't utter, if you don't pray. If you're not talking to Him, you're not asking. Matthew 6:9-13, Jesus taught us the model prayer, right? Acknowledging how great the Heavenly Father is, asking for the things we need, thanking Him for the things that we have. He gave us a roadmap to follow, and it was there to be used on a daily basis, on a regular basis. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says, pray without ceasing. That means you should always have a prayerful mind. Always be, no matter what. It doesn't have to be a formal sit down or stand up or kneel down, long prayer every time. We should have such an attitude to be able to speak to our Heavenly Father that we have always got a prayerful mind and willing, if something happens, Lord, I appreciate You allowing me to be here in this situation, and move on. That constant dialogue, He's there, He's everywhere. He's here today. And if we don't take advantage of that and make sure that our relationship is solid from a two-way communication, He's given it to us, we have to actively listen and we have to talk back. We have to pray. The next E in the word respect. Edify. Build one another up, not tear each other down. I think it takes 10 times more positives to offset one negative, something like that. It may be an even higher number than that. But I think it's important that we recognize that as family members, members of the body of Christ, that we're here to build one another up. We are a complaining society. We gripe about everything. I heard somebody say, yeah. Josephine, was that you? I thought so. We complain about everything. But yet we're here to build each other up. We are here to encourage one another. Ephesians 4:29. I got to get my glasses out because there's more words in this one than some of the others. Ephesians 4:21. Let no corrupt communications proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Galatians 6:2. Bear ye one another's burdens. Galatians 5:15. But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. We shouldn't be biting and chewing on each other at all as a family. Now, your physical family, you always get into disagreements with your brothers and sisters. It happens. We're human. But at the same time, we're here to build one another up, and we're here to solve those problems together and encourage one another to be good examples and do the right thing so that when we leave this building, we're all unified. We got to be able to reach out to each other when we're not just in these four walls. And if we're not establishing and edifying one another so that our relationships with each other are close, how are we going to help each other when we leave here? It should be a circle of trust in this room. No matter what, I should be able to trust you with the problem I'm struggling with, and you can help lift me up. I shouldn't have to worry about whether you're going to go tell six other people, did you know Ken's struggling with whatever? We're family. We're here to edify and build one another up. C in respect. Congregate. That's what we're doing right now, right? We're here. unfortunately, tonight, half of you won't be. And we want you all here. Every opportunity that we get as members of God's family, we should look forward to that opportunity to be together. And I would encourage all of you to try to get your heart in a place that you want to be here when the doors are open. I feel comfortable that physical family events that occur, we probably try to do everything we can to make it work out to be there. If my father called me and said, hey, I want you to be at this event, I'd be there. I'd figure out how to do it. Our Heavenly Father has called us and asked us, I want you to get together every time the first day of the week rolls around. And whenever else the elders who are overseeing you decide is beneficial for the group. So I'm encouraging and I'm asking you to try to get your heart in a place where you want to be together with your Christian brothers and sisters. Because that's what edifies us, builds us up, strengthens the example we should be, helps us become more prayerful and study more and be better Christians. And the T. Doing pretty good. It's 28 after. The T. Tell somebody. Tell somebody you're a Christian. You don't have to hit them in the head, but there are opportunities that present themselves every day for us to do something that we know we shouldn't do, or a question comes up about something that is totally different than what God's opinion is of it, and you have an opportunity to engage. So tell somebody. Don't be afraid. Romans 1:16, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It's the power of God unto salvation. At the end of the day, that's why we're here. We are here to seek and save the lost and help everybody else get to heaven. 1 Peter 3:15, be ready to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason for the hope that is in you. We all have the hope. If we are members of Christ's body, His church, we have that hope. We should be able to give someone an answer if they want to know what that hope is or why we have that hope. So I would encourage you, as part of being respectful to the Heavenly Father who was willing to give everything up, create us, create a roadmap for us to be able to get back to Him, including sacrificing His Son on the cross. I would encourage all of you to look inward today. Ask yourself, do I give God the respect that He deserves? Or am I looking for someone to respect me? And with a little bit of pride behind that me. It's not about us. It's about God. And it's about us doing what He asks us to do. So I would ask you this morning, if you're here and you are a Christian, examine yourself. Are you being respectful to our Creator? If you're not a Christian and you don't know how to be, don't know what to do, come forward when we sing this next song and we'll be glad to help study with you. If you already know you need to be baptized and become for the remission of your sins, please do so as well. We'll be here to welcome you at the bottom of the stage. If you have any need at all, please come as we stand and sing.